like the second line of the third verse, just one glimpse of him in glory will the toils of life repay. I think we'll get a little better perspective, obviously, when we get to heaven, what we've been through here. But in the meantime, Paul says these light afflictions are working for us a far greater weight of glory. Daniel chapter 1, if we can turn there this morning, please. Daniel chapter 1. The book of Daniel in the Old Testament is a very important book, particularly from a prophetic point of view. Very much of the prophetic scriptures are found. Very important things are found in the book of Daniel. But the other reason I like the book of Daniel is because of the four main figures who make up the book of Daniel. That's Daniel himself, and then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I just love reading about their testimony, their stand for the Lord, and the way God blessed them as a result of all that. And this morning, I'm going to read chapter 1 of the book of Daniel. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand with part of the vessels of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar to the house of his God. And he brought the vessels into the treasure house of his God. And the king spake unto Ashpenaz, the master of his eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel and of the king's seed and of the princes, children in whom was no blemish, but well favoured, and skilful in all wisdom, and cunning in knowledge, and understanding science, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning in the tongue of the Chaldeans. And the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat, and of the wine which he drank, so nourishing them 3 years, that at the end thereof they might stand before the king. Now among these were of the children of Judah Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, under whom the prince of the eunuchs gave names, for he gave unto Daniel the name of Belteshazzar, and to Hananiah of Shadrach, and to Mishael of Meshach, and Azariah of Abednego. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Now God had brought Daniel into favour and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. And the prince of the eunuchs said unto Daniel, I fear my lord the king, who hath appointed your meat and your drink. For why should he see your faces worse liking than the children which are of your sort? Then shall you make me endanger my head to the king. Then send Daniel to Melzar, whom the prince of the eunuchs had set over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, prove thy servants, I beseech thee, 10 days, and let them give us pulse to eat and water to drink. Then let our countenances be looked upon before thee, and the countenance of the children that eat of the portion of the king's meat, and as thou seest, deal with thy servants. So he consented to them in this matter, and proved them 10 days. At the end of 10 days, their countenances appeared fairer and fatter in flesh than all the children which did eat the portion of the king's meat. Thus Melzar took away the portion of their meat and the wine that they should drink, and gave them pulse. As for these 4 children, God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom, and Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. Now at the end of the days that the king had said he should bring them in, then the prince of the eunuchs brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar. And the king communed with them, and among them all was found none like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore stood they before the king. And in all matters of wisdom and understanding that the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers that were in all his realm. And Daniel continued even under the first year of King Cyrus. Amen. Let's pray now. Father, we do thank you again for today, and thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, for this book of Daniel that's been kept for us. Lord, a wonderful book of prophecy, a wonderful book of the testimony of these 4 men as they stood for you and lived for you. Lord, the great blessings that you brought into the life. Lord, many and the very difficult challenges they faced, and yet, Lord, you brought them through and Your grace was sufficient. And, Lord, you did some amazing things in their lives. And, Lord, they stand for us an example today of those who would stand for their God and stand for that which is right. And, Lord, I pray you just bless this time now. May, Father, your word have free course in our midst and accomplish that which you purpose. We pray in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 8 says, "But Daniel purposed in his heart." Daniel purposed in his heart. If we would go away with nothing else this morning, I trust we'll go away with that thought at least. Daniel purposed in his heart. We'll see what he purposed, but he purposed in his heart. We're never going to get anywhere in the Christian life until we, pardon me, purpose in our heart. We deliberately choose to do that which God would have us do. And Daniel and his friends took a stand for the Lord, and we find that on more than one occasion they did that. I think what prompted me a little bit about this, and I'm not sure whether this is part of the message or whether I put this in, just a few days ago I heard an advertisement on the radio station 5SC. I wasn't listening to the wireless. I don't listen to 5SC. In fact, I don't even listen to wireless at all, really, but I happened to be in a particular store in town, and I heard this particular ad. And to say the least, I was shocked. I went home and told my wife about it. I was still struggling for words when I got home. I couldn't believe the ad, and I've shared it with one or two others. Quite amazing that such rubbish would get on the public airwaves. But nevertheless, Brother Jim and I went in on Thursday and spoke to the manager of 5SC regarding that, and just to find out what channels to follow so that we can pursue the matter a little further. But it told me some things about where we are as a society and where we are as a nation, that such rubbish should be aired on the public airwaves. And the other thing that is sad about it is that virtually nobody worries about it, just accepts it, and we just take it, well, that's the way it is today, that's the way the world is, and we just got to put up with that. Well, we don't have to put up with that. In one sense, we do, of course. If the radio plays that sort of stuff, then they play it. You say, how do you deal with that? Don't listen to it. Simple. It's pretty easy, isn't it? He said, but they'll still do it anyway. That's right. They'll still do it anyway. I'm not sure where that fits in here, but somewhere I think it does. Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat nor with the wine which he drank. We know that Daniel and these other young men and others had been taken captive by Nebuchadnezzar, the Chaldeans or the Babylonians, because God had said that they would. Not this them by name, but God had said that he would bring judgment upon the nation of Israel because of their idolatry and wickedness. That came to pass, and there were a number of occasions when the Chaldeans or Babylonians went down there. They took captive some people, they went back again, took some more, until they finally accomplished God's purpose and plan in what he was trying to do to the nation there to call them back to himself. So we want to just be reminded that Daniel is in a strange place. He is in a pagan country. He is living in a pagan world, and he is serving a pagan king. Just in case you think it was easy for Daniel to take the stand that he took. You say, well, it was easy for Daniel. I mean, everybody... No, it wasn't easy for Daniel at all. We live in such a world today where we are a pagan nation, a pagan society. We have gods many. We have gods plural. We have gods of sport. We have gods of money. We have all sorts of gods in this land. We have gods of pleasure. We have all sorts of gods in this nation of Australia. We live in a very similar day, as it were, to Daniel. We live in a heathen land. And I'm just amazed when people say Australia's a Christian country. Australia, by the way, has never been a Christian country. There is no such thing as a Christian country in this world. There are countries that base their legislature and their laws upon Christian principles, and some of them at different times in history have predominated, but Australia's never been a Christian country, but it was based on Christian principles. And we haven't got time to trace all the history of this country today, but it was very much based on that. But we've come around the whole thing's turned full circle, and now we've got to the place where we're able to ban Bibles in hospitals and pretty much take away those kind of things. It's almost now an offence, to almost a criminal law, to have a Christian nativity or a Christmas nativity in public areas. You're not allowed to sing Christmas carols in schools, and on it goes. So don't just mark it down. We are fast becoming a heathen and a pagan country. I say it again because we need to understand. We think, well, it's difficult for us to stand in our day. It was difficult for Daniel to stand in his day, I think. Well, he was different. Yeah, we've always got some excuse why it's easier for someone else and not for us. And you say, what are you going to do about this 5OC thing? Well, I'm going to write to the manager to start with and see where we go from there. He said he'll write back, so that's good. And then he'll pass it up the line to whoever the next level of management is in the Macquarie Broadcasting Network, and they'll no doubt write back, and then we'll have some correspondence. And you say, what'll change? I don't know. You say, will anything change? I don't know. But that doesn't matter. Those kind of things are ridiculous. I said to the manager, I said, you know what, when I heard that, I said, I thought it may almost have been an advertisement for a brothel. And he just kind of looked and said, well, I understand what you're saying. That's how bad it was, I thought. I only heard it once, and I didn't hear every bit of it word for word, but I heard enough of it to know that that ought not to be on the radio. He said, well, we play it between 9 and 3, that way the children don't hear it. They're already acknowledging that children oughtn't hear it. Well, sir, tell me, what about those who are homesick from school? What about those who've got a day off? What about those who are home on study leave? What about them? How can you play it from 9 to 3? Because there might be some at home. Anyway, Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Now, they were in captivity, they were in a pagan society, they were being groomed to be leaders in that nation. The king had called certain of them together. He'd laid out some criteria of those he wanted to be trained up in the ways of Babylon, so they could be useful to him in his service. He gave them food and clothing, took care of all their needs. But Daniel, the Bible says, purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. You say, why would he make such a big deal about that? I mean, food's food. I just eat it. We know that the Apostle Paul said, don't make a big deal about food, if it's been offered to idols or not. Just do it. We won't go into all that Paul said about that. But think about it in Daniel's day. The Jews were told under the law there were certain animals that were clean, certain that were unclean. The unclean were not to be eaten. Now, we don't know what the king's meat was, but being a king, I'm sure he would have liked a little bit of ham occasionally. That's what you do when you're a king. You can afford ham. But pigs were something that were on the banned list. No pork, no pigs. They were unclean animals. Maybe that was one of the reasons why Daniel said, we're not going to eat of the meat that comes, because there's unclean animals. Maybe there was some, there was products made with blood. You know, get your black pudding. Is it black pudding? Black pudding? Yeah, they make it today. They use animal blood to make it. Maybe Nebuchadnezzar had some of that. But Daniel said, we're not going to eat that, because God has told us that we are not to eat blood or drink blood. We are not to eat certain animals which are unclean. There's certain fat that we're not to eat. We're not to do that. Maybe it was that some of the meat had been offered to idols already. In other words, prior to the meal, they would offer a portion of it, along with the wine, they would offer that to the idols of the day, and then they would just 2, 4, 6, 8, bog in, don't wait, get into it. Daniel said, that's it. He said, we're not going to defile ourselves with the meat and the drink that comes from the king's table. We have purposed in our hearts, I have purposed in my heart not to do it. Now, Daniel, be sensible about this now. It's only food. Why are you making such a big deal about this? Well, the reason why it's a big deal is because God says it's wrong. But Daniel, everybody else is eating it. So why don't you? Well, I'm not making my decision based on what everybody does. But Daniel, do you understand that... And on it goes. Daniel said, I understand a few things about this, but let me tell you. He said, I have purposed in my heart. I have purposed in my heart. Again, if we can get those words, purposed in his heart. Daniel purposed in his heart. If you and I are going to live for God, then we're going to have to purpose in our heart to live for God. It just won't happen by accident. We just won't wake up one day and say, well, I'm just going to live for God today. There has to be more to it than that. We have to purpose to do it. It's not going to just happen. Any of us who've been saved for any length of time know it doesn't just happen. If we're going to live for the Lord, if we're going to stand for God, if we're going to stand for the Word of God, if we're going to stand for that which is right, if we're going to stand which is holy, that which is pure, then we're going to have to purpose to do it. We won't just trip over it. It's going to have to be something we definitely do. I am going to live for God. I am going to live by the Word of God. The Word of God will be my standard. I will judge all things through the Scriptures. Whatever I eat or drink or wherever I go, I'm going to judge all those things through the Scriptures. And to the best of my knowledge and ability, as God gives me light, I am going to purpose to do what God says. It's the only way it's going to happen. Well, I'll just cruise down the life. Just cruise through life. Well, you'll cruise through life, but you'll never stand for anything worthwhile. As someone once said, you know, if you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. That's about what'll happen. I like Daniel. I think he would have been a fundamentalist. I won't say an independent Baptist, because that's not necessarily good anyway. But he kind of took the Word of God at face value and said, God said... Shouldn't eat unclean animals. Shouldn't eat fat and blood. And shouldn't eat stuff offered to idols. And so I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. But Daniel, everybody else is doing it. Daniel, the rest of the crowd are up to it. The rest of the boys are doing it. And not only that, Daniel, you're putting your own life in jeopardy. This fellow, Melchizedek, you're putting his life in jeopardy. He even said, Daniel, listen, Daniel, can you think about it? In verse 10, the prince of the eunuchs said unto Daniel, I fear my lord the king, who hath appointed your meat and your drink. For why should he see your face as worse liking than the children which are your sort, of your sort? Then shall you make me endanger my head to the king. He said, you're putting me in trouble as well here, Daniel, with this foolishness. Look, just eat it, all right? I won't tell anybody. Nobody else has to know. It'll be okay. And then you'll be fine, I'll be fine, and we can just kind of get on with life. Daniel said, I'm not going to do it. Not going to do it. So what are you planning on doing? I'm not going to eat at all if you don't give me something else. But you'll starve to death. Yep, that's what'll happen. Daniel purposed in his heart. You say, was it worth it? Was it really worth it? Have a look at verse 19. The king communed with them. And among them all was found none like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore stood they before the king. And in all matters of wisdom and of understanding that the king inquired of them, he found them, what, 10 times better than all the rest? Imagine that. And they were 10 times better than all the rest. Why was that? Because God honored them. God blessed them. The Bible says in verse 17, as for these 4 children, God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom. And Daniel had understanding all visions and dreams. So, but he took a chance, didn't he? No. Well, why did he take a chance? Well, he didn't know what was going to happen. He didn't know. He couldn't have been... surely he wasn't... How could he know that this was going to work out the way it did? Well, I'm sure he didn't know exactly how it was going to work out. You see, God doesn't tell us exactly how everything's going to work out, does he? In the short term. In the long term, when we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. Yeah? So we know the end of the story. It's just some of these gaps in between God hasn't quite filled in for us yet. And they're the ones he wants us to take by faith. They're the ones he wants us to accept the fact that if we'll purpose in our heart to serve him, that all things will work together for good, that we will be victorious, we will have grace, we will have power, and we'll be able to do what God wants us to do. But that's the faith aspect. And so we live in a world of struggles, of the world trying to draw us and attract us, the flesh wanting the easy way out. I don't know about you, but my flesh always likes it easy. I like it easy. I never want to get sick. Always want to have every financial need met without having to think about it. I want everybody to like me. The flesh, just lay it on me. Don't say anything controversial. Don't upset anybody. Don't talk to the fire. See, what's that going to accomplish? Don't be so foolish. The flesh wants the easy way out. And then the devil comes to encourage us and cheer us up as well. So the world, the flesh, and the devil. I want to just remind us of some challenges that come to all of us. And some of these that Daniel went through and some of us all face. And the first one I've already mentioned is this. I'm sure the devil could have come along to Daniel and said, Daniel, don't be so foolish. Everybody else is eating of the food from the king's table. Why do you choose to be different? I know you say it's because God said, but look, God understands. God knows your heart. He knows in your heart that you don't want to eat it. Just the fact that you eat it, that's okay. Just tell God, God, you know my heart. You know I don't want to eat this, but I need to do it because everybody else is doing it. You and I are going to be put in situations where we're going to have to make a decision. Am I going to take a stand for what's right? Remember, the issue is whether it's right or wrong. So many things get cloudy. So many things get confusing. So many things get hard to understand because we won't come to the place where we accept, is it right? In other words, does God say it's right? Not whether I say it's right. It doesn't matter whether I say it's right. Does God say it's right? And if I can come and find out what God says about it, then I'm in a position to be able to take a stand and purpose in my heart. I will do this or I will not do it. I will purpose that because God says it. Not everybody else does it. When we get down into chapter 3 and chapter 6, we find those situations down in the lion's den. We know the story. Why? Because Daniel took a stand and said, I will not bow down to the king. I will not pray to the king. I said, put him in the lion's den. And the other three young men who'd stood with Daniel at this point in time, down the track, they had to stand again. And there was a big idol made, and the king passed a law and said, you have to bow down every time you hear the music or you're finished into the fiery furnace. They said, we don't care what you say, king. We know that God can deliver us. Now, whether he will, we're not sure about it, or how he will, we're not sure. But one thing's for sure, we will not bow down. How could they do that? Because they purposed in their heart to do that which was right. They purposed in their heart. The principle was laid way, way back in their lives. They said, we will do what is right. We will do what God chose us to do. We will, by the grace of God, obey him. We don't care what everyone else does. Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego, you can imagine, there's a whole crowd of people lying on their face on the ground, these three young fellows standing there. Everybody's looking at them saying, what are you guys doing? When Daniel heard the news that if he took a stand that he was planning on taking, he would go in the lion's den. The Bible says he went back into his home and he opened up the windows toward Jerusalem and he prayed three times as his wont was to do. He prayed three times to God, totally defying what they'd said. You say, Daniel, how stupid's that? You should have at least kept the windows closed. Nobody would have known. Daniel says that would have been a compromise. Because what I always do is open up the windows to Jerusalem, because the Bible tells us when we're in captivity, if we will just pray toward Jerusalem, then God will hear our prayers. You see, what he's doing was scriptural. But no doubt they could have said, Daniel, don't be so foolish. Just close the windows and do it at some other time when people aren't expecting you to pray, because they know you've got this regular habit 3 times a day, but just shift it forward or back an hour and you'll be fine. Nobody will know. And God will be still happy because you're praying. Everybody else does it. Everybody else bowed down when they heard that music, Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego. So we're not everybody else. We have purposed in our heart that we're going to do what God wants us to do. One of the other things that will cause us problems and cause us difficulties and challenge us will be the fear of men. How many of us have ever thought, you don't have to put your hand up, how many have felt fearful when we've had to face someone about something? Oh no. Oh. Oh. If you don't feel fearful, Monday morning, go down to 5SE, ask to see the manager and talk to him about the ad there. He's a nice fella. I mean, I enjoyed it. It was good. But you know what I'm saying? The fear of man. The Bible says in Proverbs 29, the fear of man bringeth a snare. But whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be saved. The fear of man. Right through the scriptures we find that. The apostle Peter, this great man of God, this apostle, in the book of Galatians, it tells us that he came to a place in his at one point in his life when the Judaizers came again, and this was in the area of eating, the eating with Gentiles. And for the Jew, that was a no-no. You don't eat with Gentiles. They are dogs. They are unclean. You don't eat with them. And Peter had been shown by God that what God now called clean, let not him call unclean, and yet there came a day when the Judaizers so pressured him, the fear of man overtook him, and the Bible says, for fear of them, he stopped eating with the Gentiles. Galatians 2:12. What was it that caused Peter to deny the Lord 3 times? Fear. The fear of man. The fear that they might, you're one of his disciples, I'm not. So I would never do that. All the best. I hope you don't. The fear of man. The Bible tells in John chapter 9 where that man who'd been born blind from birth, the Lord Jesus gave him sight. The Pharisees and others, they came to his parents and said, this fellow who's been given sight, is that your son? They said, yes, definitely our son. So who was it that gave him that sight? And for fear of the elders, they said, we don't know, go and ask our son. They could have just, the Lord Jesus, actually, he was the one who gave him sight. But no, because of the fear of the elders, they said, no, we're not going to tell you. The fear of man. You and I need to put, you know what helps you when you feel those fears? Is the fact that you have purposed to do right anyway. I have purposed to live for God. I have purposed to do that which is right. And when that fear starts to come up, you can say, Lord, I'm feeling a little fearful, but would you give me grace, because I'm going to do what's right. I'm going to live for you. I'm going to serve you. One of the other things that... And so Daniel didn't allow that to bother him. The pressures of... Daniel, could you just eat for my sake? I mean, imagine if the king finds out, and if you're worse looking than the rest of them, you've had it. You've had it. The king's going to deal with you. He's going to deal with me. In those days, if the king went, you're dead. Just as simple as that. So there is a potential there for fear of man. But Daniel said, no, I purposed in my heart. I have purposed in my heart, I am not going to eat that food offered to us from the king's table. Now, it could have been for the praise of men. Well, I don't think I'll eat that food. Come on, Daniel. Come on, Daniel, you can do it. It'll be okay. And maybe he does it because he wants to get the praise of the man who's in charge of him. Doesn't want to upset him. Wants his praise. Not fearful, but he wants his praise. He wants to please him. Well, if you say that it could trouble you, and if you say that the king might even want to kill us, well, you know, I'd like to please you. I'd like to do which would be pleasing to you, so I'll eat of the food. And again, we find through the scriptures often enough, especially in the New Testament, of those who lived their lives to please men. The Pharisees and others, they lived to please men and to receive the praise of men. And you and I are no different to them. We're still flesh and blood like they are. And there's a danger sometimes we live for the praise of men and to please men. We won't do or say certain things because we know that'll upset someone. We want to please them. We want their praise. People don't normally praise you, do you? When you stand up for something right. They don't usually come, not normally. Now, others who've already purposed in their heart to do right, they may come and say, well done. But the rest will say, you're an idiot. What are you trying to accomplish? What are you trying to do? How do you think this is going to achieve anything? The praise of men, the Bible talks about those in 3 John 9, where John wrote about it. He said there was one man there who sought the preeminence among the brethren. He said, I'm going to deal with him when I get there, by the way, but seeking the praise of men. And one of the other problems that we face when we purpose in our heart, one of the other things that will come to challenge us is, and it's a kind of attitude that you hear often enough today expressed in this way, well, it's no big deal. It's no big deal. Well, I don't think you should maybe listen to that kind of music. Well, that's no big deal. I don't think you should do that sort of... Well, that's no big deal. Well, I don't think you should eat that food. That's no big deal. It's only food. Little things. Well, it's only a little thing. It's no big deal. Now, what does the Bible tell us in Luke chapter 16? He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful in that which is much. Don't ever get to the point in your Christian life where you start saying, well, that's just a little thing. No big deal. You're in big trouble if you've got that approach. Well, it's just a little thing. It's no big deal. Oh. If I hear a Christian say that, I just kind of have a charismatic fit almost. Or tremble like they do, whatever. That's just a little thing. It's no big deal. Oh, don't say that. Don't say that. He that is faithful in that which is least. You know, God's interested in the little things. Whosoever keeps the whole law and yet offends in one point, he's guilty of all. See the principle? Don't ever say, well, it's just a little thing. Just a little thing. Oh, it's a little bit of food offered. Just a bit of unclean meat, but that's not a little thing. God understands. Little things, no big deals. And again, we've already expressed this in different ways, I suppose, but the important thing is we have a biblical conviction about something and about everything. Not just about something, but about everything. We're supposed to, as I think Spurgeon once said, we're supposed to know the scriptures so well that if someone were to prick us, we'd bleed Bible. You know, just to... Because that's our touchstone. That's where we find out what life's all about. That's where we find out what God wants us to do. And so we need biblical convictions. Those things, and by the way, there's two things when it comes to convictions or standards, whatever term you want to use. There's that which is clearly stated in the Word of God. And there is that which we arrive at from drawing principles from the Word of God. Right? There's a difference between the two. Thou shalt not steal, that's clear. Thou shalt not smoke. Well, there's no verse in the Bible that says thou shalt not smoke. Why? But are there any principles that might cover that? Well, our body's the temple of the Holy Spirit. We're not to defile it. Read the health warnings on the packets. That would tend to indicate that smoking defiles the body. And the Bible says not to defile our body, which is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Therefore, we ought not smoke. In other words, we can draw some analogies. We can draw some truths from the principles in the Word of God and apply them. But there are things clearly stated, and there are things that we arrive at through looking at the scriptural principles involved. And we live in a day and age where, if we're not careful as Christians, we won't have any testimony of any sort if we don't have some biblical convictions. Why do we do what we do? Why do we go where we go? Why do we look at what we look at? Why do we dress the way we dress? All those things are scriptural things there, scriptural principles. You know, people, if you start talking about the way people dress, all of a sudden you get all sorts of accusations and comments made about it. And yet Mark was sharing with us last night about Eton College in England, right next to the Queen's residence. And to go to Eton College, if you're a young man, you need to be, number one, very wealthy, because it's, what, $60,000 a year? $60,000 a year to go there. That leaves some of us out of that. $60,000 a year. But if you think that's bad, the young men who go to that college wear black tops and tails, top hat. You don't go there if you don't wear the top hat. You don't go if you don't wear the black tails, and the tails come down to the knees with the whole box and dice. You say, boy, they're a legalistic bunch. Who do they think they are? I wouldn't go there. No, you couldn't afford it. That's why you wouldn't go there. The fact is, you'd love to go there, but you just can't afford it. What prestige that would be. I just went to Eton. Man, you must be wealthy. Yeah, a little bit. What'd you wear? Hat and tails. Top hat and tails. How could you do that? Because they said do it. Now, God tells us how we ought to dress, and we say, I'll do how I like. I'll do what everybody else does. Whatever. Instead of having some biblical convictions about it. What's right? What's wrong? What's biblical? What's not biblical? Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. One of the other arguments that could have been brought to Daniel was this. Daniel, think about it. Think about it. This could cost you financially. If you don't eat this meat, that means you're not going to look well, and if you're not going to look well, you won't get the job, and if you don't get the job, you won't get the money. Hello? Hello, Daniel. Think about it. Think about it. This is going to cost you financially if you're not careful. To take such a foolish stand over such a little thing, it really doesn't matter. It's no big deal. Just eat a bit of that stuff. Everybody else is doing it. It doesn't matter. They'll pat you on the back and say, what a wise man to come to such a good decision after that first almost foolish decision to take a stand against it. And by the way, it's going to be worth it financially. You will do a whole lot better. You're going to get on in this world. To get on in the world, haven't you heard this kind of philosophy? If you're going to get on in the world, you have to be prepared to compromise a bit. If you want to get on in the world, you have to be prepared to compromise. If you want to get on in business, you have to be prepared to compromise a little. Because everybody cheats on their tax, and everybody does this, and everybody does that, and everybody advertises, and everybody lies in their advertising. They all do that, but it doesn't matter. You've got to do that if you want to get on. Not only that, if you want to make some more money, that's what you're going to have to do. Daniel, you won't get the promotion. Better to lose the promotion and have the blessing of God. Better to have a few less dollars and have God's blessing than the blessing of the king. And so we could go on. The peer pressure that could have come for Daniel. Isn't that a marvellous saying people talk about today? Peer pressure. I understand what they're saying. But it's merely saying, well, I'm just going to do what everybody else does. I'll allow my peers to determine how I live. If they wear that, I'll wear that. If they go there, I'll go there. If they say that, I'll say that. And that's just the way it is. Well, that's a pitiful way to live. that's being led around by the nose, by my peers. And the peers don't know why they're doing what they're doing. The peers are only doing what the fashion world dictates or whatever. And so we bow to peer pressure. Well, I don't think you should eat that. Well, we're all eating it. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I was reading something interesting about peer pressure. They had 10 children that they teed up this little experiment. And they had, I think it was lengths of rope or something like that. We'll use that anyway. Lengths of rope, different lengths of rope. Right? And they had to point out which was the longest. That was. Now, one person thought that's what it was. Right. One of those 10 was told this. Now, what we're going to do, we're going to invite you all back into the room. So they told them one at a time. We're going to invite you all back into the room. And we're going to go down the different pieces of rope, different lengths. And when we get to the longest one, put your hand up. So the other 9 were told, what we want you to do, when we get to the shortest one, put your hand up. Okay. This other fellow thinks, what we're going to do is we're going to put our hand up when we see the longest. So they invite him back in, and see these 10 bits of rope hanging down, all different lengths, and they start going down the lengths, and they're all watching it, and they get to the shortest piece, and 9 of them put the hand up straight away. The 10th one looks at the rope, looks at the 9 with their hand up, looks back at the rope, looks at the 9, looks down, looks up, looks everywhere, and eventually slowly put his hand up. Yes, that's the longest. Now think about it, we laugh about it, but that's what they call peer pressure. It was the shortest piece, but that person, so nicely, bowed to peer pressure instead of saying, well, I don't know what these other idiots are on about, but that's the shortest, I'm not putting my hand up for that. And wait till they got the longest and put his hand up. So I understand that, and so they were doing this to prove that peer pressure is very real and it does influence people. Peers do influence us. Yes, that's true. So how do you deal with that? How do you get around that? How do you stand against that? Purpose in your heart to do what God tells you to do. Purpose in your heart. I will do what God says. But what if the other 9 put their hand up? Let them. Let them. But I'll look different to them. And I'll look foolish. And they'll probably laugh at me. Maybe. Of course, in that experiment, they wouldn't laugh. They'd all go up and say, well done, good on you. We're all trying to. But in life, purpose in your heart. Purpose in your heart. Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Purpose in our heart. Then, when this everyone else does it attitude comes along, we'll be able to say, I don't care whether everybody else does it. I'm not going to do it because God tells me. Then when the fear comes, the fear of man, the thought, oh, what will they say and what will they do to me and how will I feel and what if my friends say this and what if they say that, and the fear comes along. So it doesn't matter. I have purposed in my heart to live for God. Though no one join me, still I will follow. And then when the temptation is to please men, oh, we all have that. No, I purposed in my heart. When we feel our self thinking or saying, well, it's no big deal, it's just a little thing. Oh, be careful. Be careful. Purpose in your heart. Lord, help me to be faithful in that which is least. So then I will be faithful in that which is much. Have biblical convictions about the way we live and why we do what we do. Be careful. of doing things, little compromises, because it's going to mean a few more dollars. Better to have a few less dollars and have God's blessing. And then be careful. Young people, be careful. We hear it all the time, don't we? Oh, young people are under such pressure. The peer pressure, the peer pressure, the peer pressure. That's true. Some kind of animal instinct, you know. It's one of the problems with the school system. They've got all these little peers together and they all pressure each other. We need to purpose in our heart. Lord, I purpose to live for you. Lord, I purpose to do that which is right. Lord, if you'll show me from your word so that I can have biblical convictions about my life, Lord, I purpose to follow through. I purpose to do those things. Lord, I'm not going to allow these other things that can come along through the world, the flesh and the devil, to turn me aside. Lord, I purpose in my heart to live for you. May the Lord help us to do that. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we, Lord, know in our own life's experience, Lord, younger or older person, Lord, that these things can be very real, these pressures that come, these temptations, Lord, to yield, to compromise, and to do that which is not even right at all. And Lord, sometimes it's just because everyone else does it, we feel we don't want to be left out. The peer pressure, the fear of others, Lord, just the different things, just the attitude of just little things really doesn't matter. Lord, help us. Lord, help us to be like Daniel and his friends. Lord, that we would purpose in our hearts to live for you, to be obedient to that which is clear in your word. Lord, for we know when we do that, Lord, you do give the grace to follow through. The reason why Daniel and his friends could do it, because you gave them the grace, and then not only that, you gave them the blessing that came after that each time. Lord, it's not something we can do in our own strength. We understand and acknowledge that. But Lord, we know also that as we would yield to you and be obedient, Lord, that you will give grace, for you've promised to do that. And so Lord, I pray for each one of us here, Lord, whatever the situation, Lord, we find difficult in our lives when it comes to taking a stand or when it comes to living for you, Lord, that you would give us grace to acknowledge that and deal with that, Lord, to see it for what it is. Lord, whether it's just peer pressure or whatever it is, Lord, to take that stand which is godly and which is right and pleasing to you. And Father, as we would do that, that you would receive all the praise and the glory. In the Lord Jesus' name, amen.